content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Demi Arsenault from the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Line Magazine. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the January 2022 issue of Line Magazine. We'll begin today with the President's message, entitled, May the New Year Bring Renewed Dedication to Service. Dear Lions, I love the month of January because it brings such a sense of hope. A new year, a new start. While we are in the midst of a busy season of service as Lions, I like to pause and reflect on the calendar year, the one that is coming to a close and the one that is just beginning. It's wonderful to look back at all I did over the past year, and yet just as important to note the things I want to improve upon in the new year. Where might I have done better? Then I rededicate myself to service. By doing this, I am making a choice every year to be a Lion. And I could not think of a more meaningful way to begin a new year than by choosing service. Lions, you are doing so much. Take the time to celebrate your accomplishments. Then think about what ways you may want to improve in the coming months. We can all do better. This world is in need. What do you have to give? I am sending all Lions, near and far, my best wishes for a very happy new year. Yours in service, Douglas X. Alexander, International President of Lions Clubs International. And from there, we're going to move over to our Global Service Department. An article from the United States titled, A Wheely Good Cause. The River Hills Lake Wylie Lions in South Carolina are proof that good deeds don't require great skill, just desire. Lion Rick Thomas, a retired chemical engineer, was an avid cyclist for 20 years and raced with a competitive cycling team. But he never repaired a bike until his wife, Susan, also a Lion, heard the club's discussion about restarting their old Bicycles for Kids program that had faded from the project list. Rick can do that, she said, volunteering her husband to take charge. Sure enough, he could, and he has now for 5 years. The Lions gave away more than 50 bikes for kids this year, thanks to Thomas and his team of 6 Lions plus 2 non-Lions who just like to help. All retired from various careers, they enthusiastically rehab bikes for children and adults in an October to December program that seems to be growing with need. Initially, the team reconditioned donated kids' bikes and passed them to other organizations who distributed them to children at Christmas. But the Lions discovered that, kids being kids, can be hard on a bike. Repairs and replacements to get a donated bike like new again may cost as much as a new bike. And kids really like getting a brand new bike for Christmas. The Lions began taking in donations of adult bikes as well. Adults generally don't care if their bike looks brand new, says Thomas, so the team rehabs these adult bikes and sells them using the money to buy new bikes for kids. With the pandemic, adult bike sales were brisk last year. More adults were stuck at home and calling to find a bike so they could get out and exercise. Lion Sam Swisher, a former tax lawyer and financial planner, created the team's marketing plan, partnering with Walmart for a community grant, and successfully selling these adult bikes online. Retired electrical engineer Lion Mike Heslop tunes up the mechanics of the adult bicycles, and Lion John Cathcart, who claims no mechanical knowledge, takes pride in polishing the bikes until they shine like new, he says. It's such a satisfying feeling when I finish cleaning every part of the bike, the rims, the pedals, the chrome, the rubber, knowing that in the end, some child will be happier, says Cathcart, retired foreign correspondent for the London Sunday Times and editor of the National Enquirer. Before Christmas, Thomas was able to use money from adult bike sales to buy 26 new bikes for children who are receiving presents through Toys for Happiness, a 36-year-old nonprofit that focuses on local people helping local people. Mo Bell, chairman of the nonprofit's warehouse where the gifts are presented, says they helped 1,735 kids this year, and Lions have been one of their steady supporters. He is appreciative of Thomas and his team because every family helped buy Toys for Happiness has the opportunity to request a bike. Bikes go where kids need them, says Thomas. 11 kids' bikes, all in excellent condition, were donated to the Lions this fall. Thomas and the team checked them out and polished them up, then delivered them to a grade school where they knew children are in need. The principal was all in. He jumped on the truck and started unloading them. They were all so excited. Those kind of events make it so worthwhile, says Thomas. We're a big Lions club. We have lots of events to raise money, but most of that money we distribute to charities. This is the only event where we give directly to the community, and to me, that's important. Those kids know it's the Lions Club that gave them that bike. It's heartwarming to see the appreciation and the enthusiasm. You don't have to know how to fix a bike to join us, Thomas has been heard to say more than once. It's kind of good therapy. You get challenged as a retiree. It gives you something to do, and when you're done, you can look back and say, man, that looks pretty good. And next, we're going to move to a couple of feature articles, beginning with, Welcome, My Friend. Camp Ho Mi Dakota is the longest-running diabetes camp in the world. Camp Ho Mi Dakota, the world's first and oldest operating summer camp for kids with type 1 diabetes, will soon be welcoming campers year-round, thanks largely to LCIF and the hands-on work and the financial support of the Lions in Northeast Ohio. Founded in 1929, the Ohio Camp, about 25 miles east of Cleveland, kicked off National Diabetes Awareness Month with major updates to their facilities. 8 of their 4 cabins are now ready for winter use, and the others will have final renovations completed by early spring. Finished cabins are now fully insulated for the winter, have new roofs, doors, and windows, updated lighting, and new internal siding. Don't recognize them? That's because their boring gray exterior has been repainted, taking them back to the camp's historic color, Ho Mi Dakota Red. The Sherwin-Williams Company, headquartered in Cleveland, resurrected the nostalgic paint color that was used on the cabins back in the 1950s. Volunteers, including Lions, helped staff with the painting. Funding for the improvements came from a $45,000 LCIF diabetes grant and $7,500 district and clubs community impact grant. An additional $7,500 in matching funds was contributed by the clubs and District 13OH4, says Painesville Lion Ernie Richmond, the district diabetes chair. The grant was approved on the 100th anniversary of the discovery of insulin, and the camp name comes from the native Sioux language, meaning, welcome, my friend. Upwards of 300 children, aged 4 to 17, spend a week at the 72-acre not-for-profit camp each summer, making friends, having fun, and learning to manage their disease. Another 300-plus come to visit with other programs. Richmond says these improvements will help expand their reach and service, supporting more people and providing rental opportunities to the community. A retired science teacher, he holds a special place in his heart for the camp and the kids. For 20 years, he was a competitive runner, and at age 57, he learned that he has type 1 diabetes. When I was teaching, I'd see third graders wearing an insulin pump, and they'd see my pump, said Richmond. Both understood what the other was going through. He first learned about the camp from a Lions webinar. Intrigued by this place, less than an hour from his home, he went out to take a look. The next thing I know, I'm helping with fishing derbies, he says. He was hooked. Richmond joined the many Lion volunteers of Northeast Ohio who have helped with paint, build wheelchair ramps, split wood, repair fences, and planted trees on the land. Camp Executive Director Ian Roberts says what's been built by Lions for the children on this wooded lot is incredible. In 1929, Camp Homeda Kota was a quiet spot, the summer home of Dr. Henry John from the Cleveland Clinic and his wife Betty, who worked in the clinic's lab. They took in 6 children to try and help them manage their diabetes. There, on what is now camp land, they witnessed the power of insulin, not just to keep the children alive, but also to help them live a higher quality of life. More than 90 years later, during COVID-19, Camp Homeda Kota became the only overnight type 1 diabetes camp for kids in the world that remained open, says Roberts. The staff stayed through the season, never leaving the grounds. Medical staff from hospitals, including the Cleveland Clinic, helped them operate safely and within all restrictions. Parents and their children know that same medical attention is on site around the clock, pandemic or not, just as they appreciate that Lions support is right around the corner. Lions have been involved in every step, says Roberts. We could not have done it without them. Our next feature article, and I think you're going to love this, is titled Whales in the Bay. Lions turn Whoppers into wishes with fake news fundraiser. Every year on their old Newsboys Day, the Michigan Alpena Lions take a day to spread fake news, and people are more than eager to read it. This year's Extra Extra edition of the Alpena News had the scoop on billionaires Jeff Bezos and Elon Musk planning to raise all 100 shipwrecks in the Michigan's Thunder Bay National Marine Sanctuary. Massive bridges will then entice visitors into driverless vehicles to visit the ships, and the new Amazon Tesla Alpena Shipwreck Byway, a museum and hotel monstrosity run by who else but William Shatner. All this work should be done by June of 2023. If it sounds crazy, it's because it is. This specially written edition of the Alpena News is a spoof, but the money it generates for the Salvation Army to kickstart their holiday fundraiser is no joking matter. From this one-day newspaper sale, needy children will get toys for Christmas or warm coats and shoes. Families will have food on the table. Newspaper sales on the streets of Alpena in front of the Walmart and Purchase IGA, the longtime local grocery store, brought in $3,000 this year, says Randy Babaltz, co-chairman of the Lion Project for 20 years. Roughly 25 of the 50 Alpena Lions took a shift, or sometimes two, peddling their paper to any reader willing to pay for it. Usually it's a dollar up to 10 U.S. dollars, but a few may write a check for a larger amount, he says. Salvation Army Major Preza Morrison in Alpena says this yearly effort by Lions to help start their holiday collection is much appreciated. I know, says Preza, if there was anything we ever needed, the Lions would be there for us. In history, Newsboys started with the first mass circulation papers in the late 1800s. Young boys, most of them homeless runaways or orphans, stood on busy street corners day in and day out, late into the night, screaming out the day's headlines to peddle a paper. It was the only media. When a newspaper owner wanted more money, threatening the poor boy's already meek livelihood, the Newsboys banded together to form a union. Eventually, in 1904, the National Newsboys Association was formed to help get boys off the street into warm coats and shoes and, in the best circumstances, school or training. The efforts spread, and different versions of it continue today to support children in need. In Alpena, Old Newsboys Day started in 1912. Lions took it over in 1929, according to Babaltz and his co-chair, Gary Stevens. The money raised went to the Alpena Women's Civic League that helped needy families, and when the league disbanded, Lions chose the Salvation Army as their new beneficiary. About 5 years ago, Bobolts got his club's okay to move their Newsboys Day fundraiser from December to October so as to not interfere with the Army's Christmas bell ringers. October is also a warmer time for volunteers to stand on the corner with a bundle of papers for 2 or 4 hour shifts, he says. The Alpena News not only writes the one-page paper, but it prints it for the Lions at no cost. This year's breaking but fake story was written by Justin Jest, news staff moron, according to the byline. The fact is, Justin Hinckley is the publisher-editor of the Real Daily newspaper with a circulation around 6,000, and it was his pleasure to create the parody this year. Hinckley says his staff takes turn with the fun opportunity to write a story that is all fiction and no fact. The Alpena Lions Club is an active group, showing up frequently on the paper's lifestyle page. We are happy to help them, says Hinckley. It's important for us to keep it up. Bobolts has kept a copy of the paper each year, with one of his favorites being last year when the newspaper warned readers of a mysterious volcano that emerged in town, and the good news that gold had been found under the city library. He still chuckles over this one because a young guy who was new to town saw the headline but didn't know it was fake news. He decided to share it with others. I love when there's a headline that's fun to hawk, says Bobolts. In 2002, there was a picture of whales in the Thunder Bay. Whales in the bay. Whales in the bay. Read all about it. And next, we're going to skip over to our LCIF feature articles section, beginning with an article on World Sight Day, The Fall from Heaven. Pandemic Forces Creative Solution to Safe School Screenings. To many, Australia is heaven on earth. North to south, the massive country offers diverse and breathtaking landscapes, with lush rainforests in the northeast transforming to majestic mountain ranges in the country's south. Natural beauty combined with cosmopolitan flair are no doubt among the reasons 26 million people call the land down under home, and where millions more choose to visit each year. But in the center of the world's sixth largest country by total area lies the desert. Desert that in 2019 turned heaven into hell. The only way to describe those days is that the gates of hell opened up, recalled Balmoral RFS Brigade Captain Brendan O'Connor. Australians are no stranger to bushfires. Drought and high winds in the country's summer months regularly bring increased fire risk, putting those nearby on high alert. In the last few months of 2019, now known as Black Summer, Australians frantically worked to save their properties from the voracious flames, eventually abandoning the fruitless efforts to flee for the ocean to save their lives. With more than 46 million acres obliterated by the year's megafires, thousands lost their homes, and almost 1 billion animals lost their lives. Black summer will scar Australia for decades. Where there's a need, there's LCIF and Lions. The need was immediate, as smoke filled the sky from November to January in New South Wales, Victoria, and South Australia. Lions mobilized quickly, cooking meals for the first responders who were battling blazes and treating the wounded. Lions also collected and distributed food from other emergency items and helped fundraisers for fire victims. To exponentially broaden their impact, Lions sought support from their global foundations, Lions Club International Foundation, also known as LCIF. A $103,000 LCIF disaster relief grant enabled them to restore water infrastructure in District 202 N1, where many families use above-ground tanks to store their drinking water. When flames rushed down, the heat of the fires melted the tanks, leaving families without safe drinking water, explained a local firefighter. With the LCIF grant, Lions purchased and installed new tanks, giving families access to life-sustaining potable water. In addition, LCIF provided more than $200,000 in major catastrophe funding to support emergency relief efforts and begin the rebuilding process in the hardest hit areas of Australia. In the wake of the fires, then LCIF chairperson and past international president Gudrun Ingvatotter and past international president Barry Palmer, a native Australian and lifelong resident, visited Balmoral, one of the hardest hit areas. The pair met residents facing the daunting tasks of rebuilding their homes, their livelihoods, and their lives. The coronavirus, COVID-19, pandemic brought significant challenges to Australia's recovery efforts. The government was forced to pivot and focus on the immediate need, containing the spread of the virus. Many fire-affected areas were left behind. Many continue to struggle financially and emotionally. However, there is hope. Lions were among the first to rush toward those hardest hit in Black Summer, and they're still there. With grant opportunities such as district and club community impact grants, LCIF is there too, helping Lions to rebuild heaven on earth. And next, I'm going to go back to the Global Service Department for just a minute to read you a story from our November 2018 issue from The Vault, entitled, What It Means to Be a Lion. It makes me feel good to say I helped those people. Those people are better off now than when we started. That from Robert Rocco Vieira, El Paso del Norte Lions Clubs in Texas. Home is not where you live. It's where you're understood. And when I got involved with the Lions, I felt home there, said Kevin Whitley, Anchorage Lions Club in Alaska. Serena Luck of Newcastle Lions Club in South Africa said, I figured that I could maybe make a small difference on my own, but by joining with other like-minded people, we could make a much bigger difference. I enjoy wearing my vest, and I love people asking, what is a lion? I enjoy being able to tell them, Lions is the most important thing that's happened to me in my life, said Doug Day, Albuquerque Breakfast Lions in New Mexico. If you're brought up in a family that believes in giving back, you'll learn that. PDG Chris Carloni, Mater Lions Club in Louisiana. Cliff Haywood in the Waihi Lions Club of New Zealand said, there are people in Africa who need food. We give them that. There are people in India who need mobility devices. We give them that. There are people here in America who are reaching out, and we are reaching back to them. School buses full of gifts. Who else does that? Where there's a need, there's a lion. From Stella Fu, this is the correct place for me to serve the community, as I feel only birds of a feather flock together. This is a place of love and humanity. And Stella is from the Lions Club of Kuala Lumpur City in Malaysia. While I did not aspire for the position of club president, becoming one opened up my consciousness that there are so many poor people in all aspects of life in my community. Suddenly, I realize that they are just lingering beside me, and they are so miserable that they need help, not tomorrow, but now. And that from Manny Quase, Quezon City, Cubao, Lions Club in the Philippines. Before, when I wasn't a lion, I was just helping. But when you start to feel the passion, then you understand. And that's why we do what we do. We serve, said Jama Wall, Strader Hardscrabble Lions Club in Illinois. PID AP Singh said, I had never realized how for such small amounts these individuals would have remained visually impaired for the rest of their lives. I thought, there's more to life than just biological family considerations. There's more to life. It's reaching out to the world at large. And finally, from Carol Marshall, oh my God, rewards within my heart when I am helping people who need help. And Carol is with the Albuquerque Breakfast Lions in New Mexico. And all of these quotes were an answer to the question, what it means to be a lion. Hold on to that for the goodness of humanity. And we're going to wrap it up today with a couple pieces of club news from January 2022. In New York, the Ballston Spa Lions Club delivered 60 hams to three churches in the village that have food banks. They followed their November delivery of 20 turkeys and 9 other items for needy families in their community. The Sargent Area Lions Club in Texas has become a staple organization in the small coastal town. Despite damage caused by Hurricane Nicholas in September, the Lions held their third annual Christmas in the Park event in the decorated Mike Lebrun Memorial Park, a Lions Club park. Volunteers at 38 booths from 38 different organizations gave out ornaments, books, candy, cookies, reindeer food, glow sticks, cards, and more as Santa Claus arrived on the fire truck. Hundreds of people showed up for food and musical performances by local groups. The Three Sisters Lions Club in Oregon hosted their 10th year of showcasing art from around the Central Oregon community at the Three Sister Lions Club Holiday Fair. Customers found a variety of jellies, handcrafted kitchen decor, hand-blown glass, woodworking, metalcraft, quilting, and more. In Oregon, the Portland Legacy Lions Club held its annual Christmas tree recycling fundraiser, collecting discarded trees, wreaths, and tree stands to benefit neighbors who need access to sight and hearing assistance. All donations, $7 in U.S. to drop off a tree and $22 to help have them pick it up, support sight and hearing care for people in need in the Northwest neighborhood in partnering with the Oregon Lions Sight and Hearing Foundation. In Wisconsin, the Waunakee Lions carried out their annual vision screening of about 1,000 children. And finally, the Dallas Lions in Oregon manned the kettles for Salvation Army. Every year, there's a competition between service clubs, and for many years, the Dallas Lions won and had their name on the trophy. But last year, the Kiwanis won. Lions were happy and determined to get that trophy back this year, and they did. And we've run out of time for today's episode of Lion Magazine. Be sure to tune in next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Demi Arsenault for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for the print and visually impaired audience. Lion Magazine is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. And again, that number is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service, and we hope you have a wonderful day.